You're listening to Live from Mount Sinai on the TalkWarrior.com radio network. This is Moshe. You can call in at 415-738-0689. I'll repeat that. That's 415-738-0689. Our website is TalkWarrior.com. Riz is here with me, and he just gave me a fucking nervous breakdown because he's doing the toilet thing right before.
Right before the last second of the show,
when the show starts at 10 o'clock, he's flushing the fucking toilet and ruining the show.
I'm not. What? If you heard the toilet on this program, yeah, you let me know.
Yeah, that's why I'm freaking out right now. I don't believe that kind of shit.
You know what? Moshe makes me so darn powerful.
I can't even have my fucking name right.
I am so powerful.
Okay, look. We got important things to cover today. I want to talk about an article, a disturbing article I read in the New York Times. It was dated September 23rd, 2004. It was written by Chris Hedges. All right. It talked about a woman named Sue Niederer, who was the mother of a soldier killed in Iraq. Sue was attending a Satan rally, also known as a Bush rally, where Laura Bush was the speaker. All right. After interrupting the bride of Satan to ask why, if the war was warranted, her own daughters, which were Laura Bush's, he's talking about Laura Bush's daughters, weren't serving in Iraq. After saying that, Sue was arrested for trespassing. The trespassing charges were later dropped. Not only was this poor woman arrested for nothing more than exercising her fucking First Amendment rights to free speech, but she is now being harassed and victimized by the Secret Service. According to the New York Times, this is a dumb quoting from the Times, quote, Mrs. Niederer's son, Second Lieutenant Seth Devorian, 24, was killed in February while trying to defuse a roadside bomb in Iraq. Mrs. Niederer charges that her son was untrained for bomb disposal work and lacked proper equipment. Well, you know, I'm just fucking shocked. I'm fucking appalled, and I'd like to know what you think about this, Riz. Are you as shocked and appalled as I am at this bullshit?
Dude, people have been arrested for wearing anti-Bush t-shirts at Bush rallies. The fact that this woman was arrested for opening her mouth is no big surprise to me. I mean,
not only was she arrested, but she is being harassed by the Secret Service. The government is abusing its authority. This is a neo-fascist government, and they are abusing their authority. They are overstepping their authority, and they are fucking with this woman for exercising her free speech under the First fucking Amendment. First Amendment gives you a right to free speech, and I'm sorry, I'm fucking steaming. I'm angry, and I'm pissed. And I can't believe this shit. And I don't know what's happening, man. Who do these motherfuckers think they are?
They think they run the fucking world here, don't they?
Well, I think they are. Here's the, you know, fucking newsflash, they are. They're getting away with it. And only peon motherfuckers like me that are doing internet radio, okay, that get 5 to 10 listeners a day are listening to. No one gives a shit. What is Kerry doing about this? Is Kerry speaking out?
You know
no.
what they want? Listen. Moses, every time
I tell me about your friend Kerry.
You have to go blasting Kerry. Do you want to know what he's doing about this? He is campaigning to give us an alternative to this fascist overthrow of democracy.
Dude, he is going to stick it out in this war. He's going to finish this war. He made it very clear that he is going to, he didn't use Bush's words, stay the course, but he is going to stay the course. Now, I want to talk a little bit about John Kerry. It seems like you had some conversations with the Kerry people about having them get on my show. Okay? Now, I'd like you to just, could you tell me what happened?
You know, the Kerry...
Let me just say, before I ask you this, I just want to put it out there that I'm a fucking socialist. And if Kerry can't win me over a fucking socialist, well, you know, he's got a problem. But go on. I should be easy. I really should be. Okay? To give him my endorsement should really not be so hard to get a guy on my show to help me out, to say to me, okay, here's the reasons why you should vote for Kerry, and I'd probably go along. But I want to hear what happened. Tell me.
They were busy.
No. That's not what you told me. I want to hear what happened.
They were busy.
Yeah, well, you know...
they were busy.
Yeah.
They didn't really want to talk, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I tried, buddy. And you want to know why I tried?
Yeah.
Because you're ignorant about Kerry.
Well, you know what? That's why I need Kerry to help me out. Help me out, and that's all I'm saying. He needs some help. Tell me a reason why I should encourage my listeners to vote for this cocksucker.
I don't know. You know that Orwell continues to spin in his grave.
Why is that? Tell me.
Because Bush is creating a fascist power grab of tremendous proportion, like you pointed out with this poor Needleman woman or whatever her name was.
Niederer.
Right?
Her son
at the brink of utter and complete totalitarianism in the United States at the beginning of the 21st century, and you can't even get behind the one candidate that stands up and gives us an alternative.
Well, seems to me like he's not giving me an alternative. Okay? He doesn't want to address, he doesn't even want to talk to me. I don't need him to speak, but...
You're a dude sitting in a one-room apartment with a globe over your left shoulder.
I don't mean...
Why should he talk to me?
That's more than I can say for George Bush. Okay? But I don't mean to say that Kerry should talk to me personally, but I think one of these assholes in one of his local headquarters, Boston headquarters, whatever, San Francisco.
Get on the phone with Boston headquarters. I got on the phone.
Well,
I called
me
the people in San Francisco.
Well, to me, like they didn't want to talk to me.
No, they didn't.
I mean, I would, if they wanted to get on my show, would be nice.
I gave them the frequency.
Yeah.
They could be listening right now. They could be trying to suss this thing.
Well, you know what?
They didn't want
them. Here's the number.
That's good.
Here's the number. 415-738-0689. And I want to know, why, it's not only about the war that I'm very upset about, how come I'm looking at a transcript of Kerry's nomination speech? There wasn't one word about black people, okay? I did a text search. No words, there was nothing black, African American. No word about poor people.
But you ever think about fucking reading the actual speech, you lazy puke?
Why?
You ever think about actually reading the text instead of...
No, I did.
But yeah, no, of course not, because you're closed-minded and you're locked into your little, socialist diatribe here.
I actually did read it.
Did you read it?
I listened to the speech and I also read it. And there's also, I'm not sure where it is, but I could actually point out a factual error here, but I can't find it right now. But anyways, I listened to the speech, and that should be good enough. Okay, I did take a cursory look at it. But let's not get detracted from the point here. The point is this: I heard the speech. There's not one word. A big part of Kerry's constituent are black people who are highly fucked in this country. There is a huge unemployment. with black people, and we got a racial problem in this country. Now, you could take two positions. You could take the position that either that we have high unemployment, much higher unemployment with black people because of racism, or we could take the position of social Darwinism, okay, which is really racism, and which is a position that really is saying that black people are inferior. Well, I don't fucking believe that. I think there's racism, and I think Kelly ought to fucking address this issue. Okay, even if it's not racism, okay, black people still account for a huge segment of society. I'm not sure exactly what it is now, 8-10%. Okay, but I mean, he's not talking about black people. He's not talking about poor people. What he does mention, what he mentions a lot, is the middle class. Okay, this is the candidate of the middle class. Now, stop defending this asshole, because there's nothing, you know, the world is not going to be a magical place if this asshole gets elected. There's nothing that's going to get really better, okay? Things might stop from getting worse, but it's not going to get any better.
Are you high?
No, not high, man.
Have you been breathing helium all day long?
No, I'm angry. I tell you what, I'm angry.
You know what? I'm angry about a president whose primary constituency are people that make over $250,000 a year.
So am I.
That pisses me off, dude, that Kerry is addressing people who make, say, $50,000 to $100,000 a year doesn't fucking piss me off.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a broader section of the American population. It's a bigger part of our democracy, and it isn't the kind of thing that you can just dismiss stupid.
So you're just saying, fuck black people, fuck poor people. That's what you're essentially saying, right?
Do you realize, I mean, like, here's something that, like, in your utopian worldview of the way that politics works, you see, I have a feeling that you think that the American people are intelligent. Is that one of your like,
No, when did I say that? Dude,
if you can understand what's going on with the Kerry campaign, you've never understood why it was a political necessity for Kerry to vote for the authorization of force in Iraq. It was an absolute political necessity because George Bush created...
Don't turn your back on me. I can see you on the webcam. You're turning your back on me. Face me, motherfucker. Mofo, face me. Don't turn your back on me.
I'm turning my back on my monitor, you jackass. I'm trying to focus because watching you with your weird little microphone is distracting.
Yeah, I'm afraid to call your name right now because I'm afraid I've insulted you. Oh, now you're showing me this. I always wanted to have children. Come on, let's grow up. I don't believe I just saw that. That was so sick. Okay. Let's try to grow up here, okay? Can you just answer the question?
All I'm saying...
I don't believe that.
All I'm saying is that if you continue to spread negativity about George Bush.
I am spreading negativity about George Bush.
No, that's my job. Oh, yes. Okay. So listen, you know, you made me lose my track here.
Okay, fuck it. Let's move on to the next.
All right, let's
go. Topic. We're still on Bush. I'm very angry about the war and about Bush. All right.
Yeah.
Now, in another story I found this week in Cox.net, COX.net.
Because you misspelled what you were really searching for there, bud.
Okay. Kofi Annan. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Kofi Annan.
Yeah. Addressed the UN General Assembly, said that the U.S.-led war in Iraq violated the UN Charter and called it an, quote, illegal, unquote, war. in his list of violations of the rule of law, he cited, quote, Iraqi prisoners flagrantly abused, unquote.
Wait, say that again?
Okay. He cited Iraqi prisoners, he cited, quote, Iraqi prisoners flagrantly abused, unquote.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I want to juxtapose that story, okay, with an article I read in the National Review Online, dated March 31st, 2004, all right? Paul Bremer, head of the so-called Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq, was addressing law students in Baghdad. He pointed out to the student that the codification of Hammurabi's law as evidence that, quote, people have always been tempted to lie, cheat, and steal. He then used Saddam's prior regime as an example. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, Riz, but I think we have, you know, a huge fucking problem. All right, and this is why. Hammurabi was Iraqi. Okay, it wasn't called Iraq back then, but he was from Iraq. Now, our modern legal system was invented by Hammurabi, who was an Iraqi. All right, Hammurabi, going on. Now I just want to say, here we have a conquering army that is conducting an illegal war. Okay, this is the this is an illegal war. Okay, the head of the UN said this was an illegal war. Okay, I got the message. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Now, I know this is putting Liz to sleep. All right, but I want to cover this because I think this is I can't live with myself unless. I say this. I can't live with my conscience. Okay? Now, here we have a conquering army, all right? An emperor, okay? An imperial emperor lecturing Iraqis who invented the legal system about law. Now, I don't fucking understand that. I know you're going to sleep. Okay, Liz is giving disease. Okay, and the message. But why, tell me something, why is this not important to you? What, I mean,
Sean just got over to me and said, my sister called me to complain.
I can't hear you.
Sean just IM'd to tell me that he had told his sister to listen to this program, and his sister called him to complain about the Hammurabi shit.
Who is she going to complain to?
She complained to Sean because he was the one that recommended that she listen to the program.
All right, fine. I'm going to continue.
Cool, go on.
All right. Now, I want to talk about a local story. It was about a local kid that was a soldier in Iraq, and he was killed.
Now, okay.
The kid lived in my state. The father was so distraught after hearing news of his son's death that he set himself on fire.
Oh, that happened in your state?
Yes.
Yeah, wasn't that a real tragedy?
Yeah, and local news did a story on that, all right, and they interviewed this cheerleader who was a cheerleader in this kid's town, all right, and this is a quote from her. He gave his life for us, unquote. Now, here's a sad fucking thing. The only person he gave his life for is George Bush.
George Bush's bank account and all of his friends' bank accounts.
He gave his life for nothing.
That's right.
And that's what is said, and that I'm so fucking appalled about, and that's why I just, you know, I'm making the central, that the central issue of this show, because I just can't morally handle it. I can't live with myself to not say anything about this shit.
I gotta tell you, I wrote a letter to the editor of my local newspaper today because of something that some ignorant bastard wrote in. There's no way that I'll be able to find it in time to keep it interesting. But somebody had the temerity to write in that news services were totally horrible for covering the grief of, you know, like grieving mothers. Grieving mothers. News services should not cover grieving mothers because it distracts from the true purpose of this war. Hello? Hello? Moses, did you dump me?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, do you read me?
What happened?
I don't know. Someone called, and I must have fucked up the phone. Let's keep it moving, okay?
Oh.
I missed the call. Okay, they're calling again. Hold. Hold, please.
Get him.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, man.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
Well, this is Bill. I'm calling from Canada.
What's up, man?
Well, I was just listening to a little thing here we got going. I'm a few minutes behind.
What do you think?
Just talking about Bush and Kerry and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, us Canadians here, we sit around, we actually want Bush to win the next election.
Why is that?
Well, because...
You and Moses have something in common, I swear.
You know, destroy...
Sorry, Bill, I interrupted you.
Canadians will rise.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Can you say that again, please?
Well, Bush is ultimately going to, you know, destroy the United States and parts of the world.
Yeah.
And us Canadians will get to rise up, you know, and we'll become the new kings of the planet.
It could happen.
I think it's going to happen.
So that's the theory. That's the theory that if America doesn't decline, the next country that will assume leadership is going to be Canada?
Oh, I think so. I think it's going to be beef jerky for everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
Bill, I got your cartoons. Thank you. What?
Sean sent that in.
Sean. Okay.
I was curious what you thought of it.
No. It's good, but here's the thing. We're more of a political show. Let me just give you a concept.
I thought that drawing was very political.
I need something more subversive. Let me just throw a concept at Sean, okay? How about this? Now, I'm not telling Sean what to do. I'm just saying this is a general guideline. How about Bush is fucking an American soldier up the ass while... sucking the cock of Osama. How about that?
Wouldn't that be auto fellatio though? Because Bush is Osama, right? Up to.
They both need each other. I mean, they both can't exist without each other. It's like, there's a word for that that I can't remember the word right now. Help me out there. English.
I'm thinking of Incredible Hulk, issue 300. He had a symbiote attached to his spine.
That's it. It's a symbiotic relationship. It really is. I mean, the two really need each other to exist. They can't exist without each other.
Well, that's all it is now, you know. Like, there's nothing else. This is what it is. But, stepping back to that drawing for a minute,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think the word here is irony, because I never use the word irony properly anyway, but I thought you might appreciate that the picture is probably, you know, the exact polar opposite of, you know, yourself, basically.
That's funny. I agree. I agree totally. And you know something? I like the title. I do like the slogan a lot. Howard Stern has locked up the whole dominatrix sex thing. And I just don't want to go there. You know what I'm saying?
No, okay, we don't have to go there. We can do something else.
Don't get me wrong, I want it to be sexual, but I want it to be subversively sexual.
Let's have more cock. More.
I want the cock being,
I realize that there's like going to be like an MP3 clip of you saying, I want the, you know. That's what you just said, dude. Context so easy.
I don't give a shit. Wouldn't be the first time I was called gay, right?
All
right.
Yeah, see, okay, cool. I could do that because, you know, artists, technically, they're all gay anyway, so we don't really have a problem.
Well, I won't say. You're all girly, man. All right.
What else is up? What were we talking about?
One more thing. This is Bill, right? I don't know who said it. Okay, but I mean, what is this kind of just how the language was used? Okay, the N word was used. I mean,
in what?
Here's the quote. I think it was Sean. He said, here's that image I be talking about, niggas. Now,
niggas means friends.
You know, I'm sorry.
Niggas means pals.
No.
Look.
I watched Pimp My Ride this afternoon, and I got carried away.
Look. We're really trying to do away with racism on this show.
There's nothing racist about using the phrase nigga.
Yes, there is.
We have a problem here. Nigger.
Right, that's the racist term.
You know, that's mean. That's bad. That's a bad word. But if you go with the A and you
know. I would have to disagree.
And aside from that, black people are allowed to call each other nigga. Am I wrong?
Yes, but it would be considered pretty racist to, if you were to call a black person a nigger, I mean, that would be considered racist, correct?
No, but two black people can call each other nigga.
But that's not the question. That's not the question.
It's ironic, Ed.
Look,
he knows
look.
You're not black.
Look.
That's why he uses
it. This is what I'm saying. We're trying to fight against racism on this show. So I really going to ask. Yeah, I just
genetically, I am part Negro, so I felt that I had, you know, a right to use the word nigga. I figured that was like
he's got it in his blood. He's allowed to use nigga.
Well, okay, but you know how I feel about the N word. I don't think it's funny.
BET.
I'm sorry, I do watch BET.
Do you?
I don't think it's funny.
You've never heard them say nigga.
I heard things said, but you know something. I just don't like the word.
What if there were like a bunch of Amish guys who called each other nigga? You wouldn't find that?
Look. I'm not gonna speak. I just don't like the word. I don't know about. I can't talk about it, like, I'm not going to tell, like, what other people, what to say and what not to say. I just personally, I find the word offensive.
So you would prefer in the future, in our correspondences, that I not call you nigga?
Yes.
Okay, well, we can do that. We can do that.
I think you're a little nigga-phobic.
No, I just don't think the word is cool.
Oh, okay.
All right.
When we're talking about fixing up our cars or watching the MTV show, I can still talk about, like, pimping my ride.
Sure. Nothing wrong with...
As long as...
pimping your ride or whatever, but
yeah.
All right. Now that we've just fucking killed the show, we've just created a big fucking divide between everyone. And
I'm gonna finish my thought here, can I?
Yeah.
All right, so I wrote this in after seeing this guy named Sieg Miller. He writes in, how dare media put a camera in the face of a grieving mother whose son was killed in Iraq, right? One of these totally self-righteous sons of bitches that write in and send a letter to the editor.
Mm-hmm.
So I reply with a letter to the editor, which I know they won't publish because it's subversive. Dear editor of the Salt Lake Tribune, what a delight to read Jonathan C. Sieg Miller's righteous indignation that a TV news organization had the temerity, in quotes, because that's what Sieg Miller used, to cover the actual and real effects of Bush's war in Iraq, death, and grieving. I wonder if Mr. Sieg Miller wrote in to the Trib when it was revealed that there was no Iraq Al-Qaeda connection. I wonder if he wrote in when it was revealed that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Let's face it, Mr. Sieg Miller, the United States of America was not made safer by our unlawful invasion of a foreign nation. When a news organization points out, as UPI did on September 15th, that our government has underreported U.S. casualties in Iraq and Afghanistan by 17,000, they are doing the American people the service of keeping them informed about the cost of this war. And when they have the temerity to put a camera in the face of a grieving mother whose son was killed in Iraq, they are providing the American people with an accurate and necessary moment to reflect. It's a little weak at the end.
All right.
Oh, good for you.
Did you hear that? That the United States government has underreported the U.S. casualties by 17,000?
Yeah, they've got mass graves. They're just dumping people in and, you know, sprinkling, you know, boric acid on them and throwing the dirt over.
Well, I don't know that they're necessarily doing that to the U.S. casualties. This has to do with the way that they're able to pull this off. It's very, very clever. Our fascists are enormously clever. What they're doing is somebody gets injured and they ship them to a hospital in Germany, and therefore they do not show up as a U.S., you know, the casualty of Iraq.
So as long as they die in the hospital in Germany, they don't count?
That's right. So hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of soldiers are dying in Germany and not being counted as casualties of this war.
Kind of strange that Germany, I mean...
Yeah, I know, it's ironic, isn't it?
We're going to take a break.
I almost wanted to say ironic, but I told you I always fuck that up, so...
Okay.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in 2.5 minutes. We're going to play an announcement.
Okay, cool.
All right. Okay. We seem to have lost Riz. I am all alone here. I don't know what happened. Hopefully he'll call back. One minute. Okay. And but I am going to continue the show. Anyways, I think I made a mistake. I should not have stated here. Okay, hold on.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay.
Are we on or what happened?
Okay, I the phone got disconnected. I don't know how the line is flaky. I don't know. Okay. We are back on the air. You with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. I was telling my listeners, I think I shouldn't have busted Sean's balls. That was probably a mistake. I should have done it in person. But I made a mistake. I just went a little wiggy when I saw that word. I just hate racism.
Dude, just lighten up. It's not racist. I don't think any black person that has suffered racism would tell you that his usage in that context was racist.
Well, I don't know. I believe it's kind of racist, but Now, I should have just kept it to myself. Because I like Sean. And I think he's a great artist, and I really wanted to kiss his ass because, I was writing I had a comic. He's a great artist, and I had like a comic book concept, and I wanted it to be like the next Harvey Pekar, and I wanted him to illustrate, the comic book. So I wanted to kiss his ass, but fuck it.
Send him an email. Kiss his ass.
Yeah. Did he hang up? What happened?
He sent me a I and said, "Fuck that asshole. I don't think he's gonna talk to you anymore, buddy." He was like, "What the fuck was up with the nigga shit?"
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's all
right. Right down in front of him, the dude laughed. Fucking asshole.
That's all right. Because there's really no place on this show for racism.
It's not racist.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
All right.
I believe it is.
We should call somebody. We should find out an authority. I don't know that you're necessarily an authority on whether or not that's racist.
Look, I wanna continue.
All right.
Okay. I really believe that was racist.
All right.
Sorry, but it just pissed me off. Okay.
You can still kiss his ass. Oh, I'm getting an IM right now. It says, "You can kiss my ass and balls."
All right, fine. Now, I want to talk about another statement by Bush. He said, this is a quote from him. He said, "The terrorists want to shake our will. They want to determine the fate of the Iraqi people." Now, I don't know, Riz, because I'm not defending terrorists, just like I don't, defend child pornographers. However, shouldn't the Iraqi people be the ones who are determining the fate of Iraq?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now I think there's a fucking problem with the statement. I think what Bush is really saying is that he wants Americans to determine the fate of the Iraqi people.
Dude, listen, man, we are paying for that fucking oil in American blood. Of course we get to determine the fate of the Iraqi people, dude. That oil is costing a lot of money.
Well, that's right.
Shit, dude. Dude, they don't even appreciate democracy over there, man. Did you hear all those reports about how they were going to have an election in Afghanistan? And everybody was saying, like, oh, yeah, the elders are going to get together for the village and tell everybody how to vote. That was their impression of a democracy. It's just not going to work. We just got to tell them how to do it, dude.
Democracy, in my opinion, is never going to work if you force it down people's throats.
Yeah. No, they have to have a genuine longing for it.
Okay. I want to talk about a little about the police, specifically the Newton police.
Okay.
All right.
Did they harass somebody that we know and love?
Someone I know and love.
Okay.
One of my neighbors was having a car problems. His transmission had broken down and the car was sort of in the middle of the parking lot. Nothing you can do about it. And this Newton cop, that's where I live. I live in Newton, Massachusetts. Newton cop is pounding out this guy's door. I wasn't there, but I heard it. Okay, because he was so loud. And he says, this is a quote, "This is the Newton police. Do you mind giving me your keys so I could get your car the hell out of the way?" Unquote. Now, what the fuck kind of way is this to talk to people?
Rude.
It is fucking a rude way.
Rude way.
Now, these motherfuckers are city employees. They're getting paid taxpayer dollars.
In L.A., where I live, it says to protect and to serve on the sides of the cars.
You know, they should probably write to protect and be an asshole.
In Newton?
And also to protect and shove broomsticks up black guys' asses.
Now, that's the NYPD, and you know what? They haven't done that since the last time, so I don't think...
Well, they must be fucking saints then.
It's good.
They haven't done it in 2 years. They must be good people.
What's that poor guy's name? That guy...
And by the way, he was innocent. Of the charges brought against him.
Dude, so was the dude that they shot 70 times in the chest who was reaching for his ID. What is that dude's name? You see what's funny, dude? That's racist that we can't remember those two guys' names because we know they were both black or Haitian or something like that. We can't remember their names, and they're very important names. Names of Whitey oppressing the black man.
Look, the way I see it, racism is racism. Okay. I really don't see a distinction between calling people niggers and shoving broomsticks up black guys' asses.
What about us who can't even remember the name of a guy who suffered this, you know? We remember Bush's name. Why don't we remember these guys' names?
The name is not important. The event is important. And
it's important to the dude getting the broomstick shoved up his ass, dude. It's very important to him.
I think it is something important to remember. Okay. Alright.
Alright, go ahead.
Let's fuck me. Did Dunkin' Donuts in Utah?
I don't know. I live in Los Angeles tonight.
Okay, they have them there?
They do.
Okay.
They don't have anything in Utah, by the way.
Do you know the tip cups?
I've actually never entered one because I'm more of a Winchell's person myself.
A whatty whatty?
They don't have Winchell's back there where you live?
No.
Do they have Krispy Kreme?
I think they might have some, but not too many.
Okay. But anyway.
Are you moving around? Because we're getting a lot of static.
I'm sorry about that. I'm going to pick up the landline. I don't know why, because I'm not even doing anything. Okay, go ahead.
Keep talking.
Tell me about the tippy cup.
Okay.
Can you hear something?
Yeah, it sounds like a toilet filling up with water. Okay.
It's my office.
All right. You know what I don't understand? You buy a donut.
Yeah.
For example, you buy a jelly now, and they've got the wax papers right there. Okay? It's right in front of them. You can see it. Okay? Got a bird's eye view of the wax paper. But, I okay, getting another call. Hold on.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, man. Pick it up.
How you doing?
Hey, so yeah, I'm back. I got disconnected there, and I got a few minutes here, too. You were talking about tip cups at the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
And I want to continue that thought when you're done that.
Okay, fine. They just go right past the wax paper, okay? And they just put the jelly donut right at the bottom, and it gets all encrusted, and it's all over the place, it's all over the bag. And I don't understand. Well, I used to leave tips, and then it finally occurred to me, why the fuck am I doing this? They're not giving good service. You're giving me shit service. So, like, what is the function? How does it help me to give them a tip?
Yeah, like, because they're not even really waiting on you, in a sense. I mean, you're walking up to the counter. You know, it's not like they're coming to your table, right?
That's right.
I don't know how they put a Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, there's something that really pisses me off, and it must be happening in your country because it's happening in mine.
Do you have Dunkin' Donuts in Canada?
No, what we have the big thing in Canada right now is Tim Horton. Okay. Now I imagine it pretty much.
I don't know him. Who is he?
Tim Hortons, anyway. Like, he's a friend of Wendy. And what they have, when you drive up to the drive-thru, you're grabbing your coffee and you're giving your donuts, and you go through the drive-thru, they got this big fucking glass case, and it says, drop money in here to help, like, Timmy's kids go to camp.
Right? Yeah.
So you're going to take your extra money that maybe you would have, you know, used for something else later on, or a tip, and you throw it in here for the poor little kids. And then, you know, at the end of the year, fucking Tim Hortons gathers all that money up.
Mm-hmm.
And they donate it to this fucking charity from Tim Hortons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not only do they get the tax break for doing that, they didn't even donate that fucking money.
Oh, that's a good point.
And not only is it Tim
Hortons. I understand.
It's Walmart, it's McDonald's.
It's because...
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
You're gonna throw this change in to help little Ronnie McDonald?
Yeah.
But the fucking check that's cut to the charity,
unbelievable,
from McDonald's, or it's from Walmart, and they get to write that off.
Unreal. I'm fucking real. I don't know. Is that like that in the United States too?
I bet you it is. We've never thought about it though.
You know what we need is like.
I want to encourage all your listeners to stop giving their change to needy little kids. Because it's not that we don't like the kids. It's because, you know, like these guys, they're just riding all over the earth whenever they want.
You just made me like spit water all over my face. Thanks. I was laughing.
So rather than putting your change into the tip cup because you get shitty service, and rather than putting it in the donation bin because you're just helping the corporation out, you might as well take that change and, you know, throw it at the kids at the bus stop, because he probably needs...
Well, you know what we could do? Here's a better idea. We could just send it right to the charity.
There you go.
Tell you what, if you have some needy kids, screwed up kids, I don't care, you know, as long as they're needy, call in, and we will forward you, we will forward the address to our listeners of where they could donate money, so that they don't help out the greedy corporations.
Excellent. That's a good thing.
Okay. Let me see. What do we got? We got 10 minutes left. What I'm going to do, I'm like, fuck it. If I could... Such a mess tonight. Okay, I found it. Now, I want to read a letter that I wrote to my housing authority. I live in public housing. Okay?
Right.
I live off the welfare state. I am a... If I was a... not quite a... I'm not a welfare recipient, but I live off the welfare state. Anyway, the letter is addressed to Newton Housing Authority, Jonathan Hacker, Executive Director. Their address is 82 Lincoln Street, Newton Highlands, Massachusetts, 02461. It was dated 12/10/03. Dear Mr. Hacker, I am a resident of Newton Housing. 2 weeks ago, I called the Housing Authority office to report a problem with my stove. As I was using the stove, I was alarmed to see and hear two loud sparks, complete with flashes of light, which I supposed were short circuits in the wiring of the stove controls. After the event, one of the burner indicator lights would not shut off, even when the burner was completely turned off and not producing any heat. I unplugged the stove's power cord and called Newton Housing to see if they might be able to look at the problem. Paul came shortly afterwards. As always, Paul was courteous and professional. He plugged in the stove, assured me that it still worked, and indicated that if I had any more problems with it, I should contact Newton Housing. The stove continues to function, as there have been no more short circuits. Nevertheless, one of the burner indicator lights remains on 24 hours a day. I'm writing because I am concerned about this problem for a number of reasons. First, I worry that it may be an indication that the wiring in the stove has deteriorated to a point that it represents a fire or shock hazard. I also worry that someone, including my elderly mother, who needs to be supervised when she comes over to visit me, might end up getting burned because of the confusion over which burner is on.
Is your mom really elderly?
Yes. For the safety of my mother, as well as the elimination of a possible fire hazard, I would be grateful if you would please fix the oven so that the indicator light accurately indicates whether the burner is on or off. Sincerely, Moshe Moskowitz. Now,
and you sent that 12 months ago.
Yeah, that was a year ago. And
they haven't done
anything. I've since contacted them several times, and housing inspector even said that there was a problem. Now,
dude, I can tell you how to get the houses moving.
Yeah. Now, I know you could, and I can contact the fire department.
Okay? No, that's not what I was thinking, dude. Tell them that you're notifying them of this so that they have, I forget the way that it's supposed to be phrased, but if you tell them that, you know, you're giving them notification of the problem, and that if there is any problem, they are legally liable.
Well, you know something? They know that, and apparently they don't give a shit. And here's why I read it. Because, you know, it's just a matter of time before something happens. Someone's going to get burned.
I'm sorry. You're going to get fried in your bed, dude. That's probably the way that's going to work.
When your light is on, when that light is on the stove there,
yeah.
Is the element actually on, too?
No.
Oh, you don't know. It's just the light.
That's correct.
It should be on really, really low. It
isn't necessarily on, but that's the confusing part. Right?
Yeah. Now,
it's probably on time.
Sooner or later, something's going to happen. Someone's going to either get hurt or that the whole place is going to fucking burn down. These people don't give a shit. And the reason why I'm not more vocal about it, okay, I didn't get tough with them is out of fear. Okay? Now, I just decided after a year, well, fuck it. Not too many people are listening. I just want to expose these people. And the reason why I said this is because it's not the people on living off of the welfare state that are the real pigs, the real greedy assholes. It's the people that are living off the fat of the people living on the welfare state. It's the people that are acting as the administrators. That's what the real evil is.
Okay,
absolutely.
So you're saying here, this housing is provided by the government, basically.
By the town.
What are you saying?
By the town.
Okay. So
technically the city.
But the fact that maybe the company views, oh, these guys are just, you know, they take advantage of you. That's what you're saying.
It's not that they don't take advantage of me.
You're saying that the administrators are sitting around collecting that paycheck and not doing anything.
Don't you think that they would come over and fix that little light and they put some black tape over
it? I didn't hear you. Say it again, please.
If George Bush, you know, was living in that apartment, they would probably come and fix the stove, right?
George Bush would never live in this apartment.
Okay.
But if he was, by some miracle, in some other universe, yes, they probably would. Yes, I think they would right away. Because
the housing authority views you as
not only me,
fungus or something.
Right, and so does the cop, who is rude. I don't know if you heard it. I was talking about this rude motherfucker cop from Newton.
Yeah, I cut the tail.
Yeah. Now we have people. These people are technically living off the doll. Okay, they sit on their lazy asses. They're rude. Okay, treat people like shit. They ignore fire safety hazards. Okay, and everyone screams, "Oh, welfare mother! Oh boy!" You know, and I don't know. I just had to just get this on my chest. That's all.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Like these guys, you're basically talking about slumlords. You're talking about people who put a place up. Same thing goes on here. Goes on every city in North America. People buy dwellings.
Well, technically,
and the less maintenance they can get away with doing, you know, the happier they are. Up the rent and stop fixing shit.
Yeah. Well, see, technically, it's not really a slum because it's all by the city. So it's not owned privately. But how, tell me, in Canada, how are your housing projects?
Well, see, like, I don't know. Because, I mean, here I'm living in the big city, and I hear that, like, people can get into this subsidized housing.
Where is that?
Fuck yeah, that's what I want to do,
where,
too.
But, where, what's, what, what city?
Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, you know, it's a growing, prosperous city, and, I mean, you know, there's run-down parts of the city, to be sure. But, I mean, overall, it's pretty clean and new kind of city,
mm-hmm.
you know, compared to, say, a shithole like Regina or Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you still got, well, you still got slums, and you still have a subsidized housing project.
Mm-hmm.
I have never lived in a subsidized housing project, but I think, you know, if it saved me a lot of money, I mean, I could forge some documents, and I would like to get in there.
Tell me, when you look at them, do they look run down and shitty like they do in the United States? I don't know. Have you ever been to the United States?
You know, I went into North Dakota once and did a little bit of shopping. And I was 7, though. So most of the stuff I bought was like little electric joy buzzers for your hands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Shake the hand, shock first. I've never actually been to the States other than that.
Okay. So you were... You
it
wouldn't...
scared me. It was different. Something was just different. There's something different about Americans that I can't quite put my finger on.
Something different about Canadians. I can put my finger on it. The place is clean.
Oh, no. No, no. I mean, there's lots of... All you have to do is go to Winnipeg or Regina, and you would not say that it's clean.
They have a city named Vagina?
Regina.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But, I mean, no, Vagina's cool. That's what everybody at some point in their life calls it that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Quebec is clean. Montreal is a very clean city. It was hard for me to believe how nice the city was.
That's not very far away from Austin, is it?
You can't, if you were driving a semi-truck trailer full of meat,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't even be able to stop in that city.
Mm.
Apparently they'll just come and take it from you.
Yeah, just like people from that movie, 28 Days Later.
When I first got to Calgary here, these guys were telling me about that. It's like, oof, you're shipping meat? Where are you shipping that? Most of the meat was going down to the States, right? But somebody said, no, we're taking this all the way over to Montreal. These fuckers would shit their pants because they get, you know, Montreal's got famous meat, and they will do anything to get their hands on meat.
How long ago was that when you were working in the meat plant?
Probably about 3 years now.
Wow.
Isn't it funny how our lives just fade away to nothing?
They what?
You know what?
We have a fucked up phone system here. We have trouble doing teleconferencing, and I'm not sure where the problem is. I don't know if it's the phone line or...
Is Sean's audio going out on the air at a good volume? Because I can't really hear
you. Yeah, he's fine.
Oh, okay, good.
But the thing is, Liz can't hear you very well. Now, I can't fix this problem until another few months because... I need to test it on a place that has two lines. So I need to rule out whether it's the phone or the line. So it'll be another few months till I see my father in flood until I'm able to figure it out. But after that, we should be able to rock and roll. But for now, Liz is...
Hey, well, listen, I'm going to leave the Starship Talk Warrior to you both because
you know
I'm getting called away.
It's 11 o'clock, and... I'm going to just close the show. All right, just stick around for a moment.
Yeah, so we should send an extra fuck you out to those guys who won't fix your stove, though, right?
Yeah, fuck you, asshole.
Send them the URL.
McDonald's and all the corporations, too.
Fuck the corporations. Don't go there.
All right. I'd like to thank...
Walmart.
All right. I'd like to thank Liz for being on the show today. I'd like to apologize for Bill for busting his balls. This show is dedicated to the true American heroes, the homeless, and the working poor. The vast majority of these people do not have the privilege to listen to internet radio because they can't afford a computer and are too busy being fucked by capitalist vermin and mean-spirited people of America and the rest of the world. I also dedicate this show to all people around the world who fight against fascism and imperialism. Last of all, I dedicate this show to the God of my original father, Abraham, who gives me the energy and courage to fight evil. This show is a copyrighted broadcast of the TalkWarrior.com radio network, and it may not be rebroadcast or distributed without the express written consent of the TalkWarrior.com radio network. I really have to shorten the speech. It drives me crazy. We'll see you again next week, Sunday at 7 o'clock Pacific Time. Please see our website, TalkWarrior.com, for updated information about the show. Thank you for calling up, Bill, and hope that you will call in again.
Yeah, well, I'll have some new racial epithets.
Oh, and also, would you ask, Bill, would you ask Sean if it's okay?
I have no ways to bless your balls.
Moses said that he wants to edit down What If Utah Had No Roads to about 2 minutes.
I never talked about editing. All I said was that it's a good song. I like it. It's just that it's like 7 minutes. It's just too long.
How do you think Sean would feel about that, Bill?
Well, I just have to get a note over to Byron, the master sound man, and we'll see what he can do. All right?
All right.
Okay, sounds fine. I'll see you next week.
All right, take it easy.
Bye.
Yeah.
Goodbye.